The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
That's not exactly correct. I am the... What would you say, Ace McKay? Not the hometown of Mother Angelica, the domicile of Mother Angelica, the living area of Mother Angelica here at the EWTN studios in Irondale, Alabama. That's a very manly city, Irondale. You know, that sounds like that would be the name of a guy that does one of those cop shows. John Irondale. But delighted to be here. Ace McKay is on the other side of the plexiglass. And every time I say Ace McKay, I get this earworm. You know what an earworm is, Ace? Well, I hear the song from Johnny Rivers, Secret Agent Man. It used to be my favorite song of all time. There's a man who leads the life of danger. For everyone he meets, he remains a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. It is amazing how I can remember that, but I cannot remember one thing from the 4 years of math that I had. I remember the song to Secret Agent Man. Okay, down to business. Enough of this persiflage, this buttonage. It's The Doctor Is In. The number to get on to the program, 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. Why would you want to get on to the program? Lots of reasons, but it's up to you. Question about something in your life, circumstances, situation, anything that's perplexing, frustrating, or in fact doesn't bother you at all. And you're wondering, well, maybe I should. Maybe I should have a little bit of antsiness psychologically about this. That's one. Two, a lot of you offer beautiful insights about life, helpful to other people. I appreciate that so very much because I take those insights, I steal them, I put them in books, and I make a lot of money. Again, thank you so much. Sometimes people ask generic type songs. Dr. Ray, what do you... Songs, generic type questions. Dr. Ray, what do you think about gentle parenting? Oh, I'll give you a summary on that real quick. Gentle parenting makes you mean because you eventually get frustrated. So... Oh, Andrew, that is great. Thank you on that. Let's see if I got my... I don't know how to move this thing, Andrew. Hey, Ace, how do I move this computer so I can... I'm trying to find my thing here. There, is that it there to move that like that? Mm-hmm. Oh, so this... No, I wanted to move that down like that. See, you're witnessing... All right. You're witnessing a guy who technologically is so incompetent that he wore his garage door opener for 2 years so people would think he had a pager. All right, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. I welcome your questions very much. Please call. We'll get to you. Now, Andrew, I got that. Parents should ask babies for consent before changing their diapers. Say the experts. Now, see, this, I don't know what to say about this. This is so far beyond foolish, but yet supposed experts. Here's what the article starts out with. It's a move that might stink. How cute. To some parents. But there's a new age way to change a newborn's undies. early child development researchers in Australia, well, at least I'm glad it's not here, say this. Drenched diapers are no longer messes that need to be ripped off a baby's bottom post-haste. Instead, the experts encourage mom and dads to request an infant's consent. And then the article, God bless them, said, you read that correctly, before changing their diaper. I'm going to quote now, I'm going to quote the researchers. At the start of a nappy change, ensure your child knows what is happening. How is a four-month-old going to know what's happening? They don't understand English. Even a one-year-old may be just grappling bits and pieces of the communication. At the start of a nappy change, ensure your child knows what is happening. Researchers from, and again, it's Deakin, D-E-A-K-I-N, not Deakin as Deakin, but University, wrote in a November 2025 guide, quote, get down to their level. I don't want to get down to their level. It smells down there. Get down to their level and say, you need a nappy change, and then pause so they can take this in. Oh, of course. Of course, they understand language. Sure, they do. Oh, they understand facial expressions. They understand tone. They understand certain probably emotional kind of expressions, but language? All right. Okay, then and it gets better. It gets better. Hold on, Ace. I got to try to get that up there. There it is. Then you can say, do you want to walk? Okay, so these are not newborns then. Okay, the article's a little misleading here. It makes it sound like these are newborns. Because the experts are saying, we are to ask, do you want to walk or crawl with me to the changing table? See, this is the old give them choices. Give them choices. Did you want 4 quarts of ice cream or the 7 cookies? Or would you like me to carry you? Say the specialist. Okay, now again, it's confusing. The article's confusing because it says, seemingly ignoring that newborns can't yet actually chat up mom or dad one-on-one, okay? Well, apparently they're not talking newborns because newborns obviously walk or crawl. But in the beginning of the article, they were talking newborns. But that's okay. The experts are not to be deterred. They say this. Observe their facial expressions and body language to check if they understand what is happening. What if they're just passing gas? You know, you could misread that totally. Thinking he understands this. He's very content. Yes, because he just released some things that were paining his abdomen. The experts further noted, this can be a time to help children learn about consent and how their bodies work. The no surprise here. The authors of the report did not immediately respond to the Post's request, this is a New York Post article, for a comment. And this is the journalist writing this. However, having heart-to-hearts with Rugrats every time they go number one or number two could fall under the ever-controversial category of gentle parenting. And then they comment, it's an ultra-permissive, anti-authoritarian approach to child-rearing that prioritizes empathy, respect, connection, and communication over rules and punishments. Well, nothing wrong with empathy, respect, connection, and communication. That's part of good parenting. But the rules and the consequences got to be there, and sometimes they got to be there first. This strategy is popular with the Gen Zers and the millennials, mothers and fathers under age 46. However, it's been widely bashed by online critics who claim the indulgent, overindulgent, uncontravent. My thing is frozen. Overindulgent, unconventional parenting style turns untamed tykes into little hellions. Yes, and you know what else it does? It brings them to my office. because they're frustrated by the time this kid's 5, 6, and 7 and they're wondering, why am I not enjoying my child? Why? I'm doing everything that they say I'm supposed to do and it's blowing up in my face. I must not be doing it right. I think I need to do more of it. I don't know. You know what it is? I call it the stretch. See, if the shrinks are supposed to be smarter than you, then we got to come up with stuff that you don't think of. We got to come up with stuff that's beyond the wisdom of the ages, right? Because we're supposed to be people with letters after our names, and we're supposed to be really, really smart, so we better come up with stuff that's really, really smart sounding. The problem is when you stretch, you leave reality all too often. Oh, wow. 877-573-7825, 877-5070-EQUAL. Give me a call. I want to hear about it from you. Thank you so much.
This Ave Maria radio program brought to you in part by the following.
Triumph of the Heart is a film telling the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe's passion.
You know the rules. I will choose 10 of you to starve until the missing prisoner is found or until death. I can take this place.
Triumph of the Heart can be streamed at ColbeMovie.com. That's ColbeMovie.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria, Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
Broadcasting here from the studios of EWTN Television and Radio, down here in Irondale doing some recording and different programs. Always a delight to come down here because these people here, my bosses, my friends, they are as nice off the air as they sound on the air. Absolutely. I highly confirm that. Okay, got a number of calls. One gentleman left already. I always don't understand that. Maybe the phone dropped. I don't know what it is. We go from asking your six-month-old if he can cooperate, and if he wants to cooperate, and if he feels good about you changing his diaper, to a game that I never heard of, but Sherry apparently did. It's called Secret Hitler. And I don't know anything about it. Maybe Sherry can fill in a few details. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Such a pleasure to talk to you. I listen to you.
Sherry, you don't know that. You don't know that. It could turn into a disaster.
No, you can't do anything worse than what I'm about to tell you. I have 6 children and 16 grandchildren, proud of every one of them. They have all received a Catholic education or are continuing through high school. I have learned and I have seen over Thanksgiving that a number of them, maybe 8, will play, maybe more, play this, I guess it's a board game, Finding Hitler.
The grandkids?
Secret, or or Secret Hitler, something like that. You can find it on Google.
Sherry, is it the grandkids?
It is the grandkids, but sometimes it is my children or their spouses. I don't dare broach the subject because I know I'll get a repercussion. I have to be very careful what I say. I am not the mother. I am not the parent. And I just find it repulsive to play a game about Hitler. Now, in Cincinnati right now, there is at the museum, I believe it is, for over a month, and I think it goes to the end of the year, a display of these of artifacts from Auschwitz, and they even have in Cincinnati billboards with pictures of the striped pajamas that they wore and the shoes. And I have always had I've had nightmares since I read a book by John Hersey and seen a lot of it. I'm just drawn to it. But I just find this so repulsive that these kids say, "Oh, you're a fascist," they'll say. And they don't know what
they don't even know what fascist means. They just utter cliches. That's what they've been taught. Well,
and
Sherry,
they think it's funny when they laugh because it's part of the game.
You bring up a broader point, and you kind of slipped by it quickly, but you basically said, "I can't say anything to my children about how they're raising their kids because they don't want to hear it." Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I get in trouble.
Right. So, and you've learned to be quiet now. You don't keep doing it, do you?
No, I don't. I have to be quiet, and that's why I'm calling you. It just breaks my heart.
Well, here's one thing you could do, and it's probably going to be tough to do because the only way this will work is if you do it when they're playing the game right then, to go over and sit down and look at the game and study it. And say things like, "So, what's the goal? What's the goal of the game? What are you trying to do? Is this something against Hitler or for Hitler? What's the purpose of the game?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean?" That's what I would do. I would be befuddled, and I would ask these questions, and get them to say out loud, "Well, you got to find Hitler, and you got to see which one of these people is the secret Hitler."
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Is that good that he's the secret Hitler then? No, is that what you want to
no,
do?
No, there's nothing good about this game. Nothing.
Well, you're pointing to something that is tragic. And the tragedy is that through marketing, through cultural push, we can pretty much convince people to do and absorb about anything willfully. That's tragic. It's what's happening. It is sadly pervasive in our culture, and until enough people have had enough with some of this stuff, there isn't going to be enough pushback. You said something interesting. You said, "Well, yeah, my kids are all in the Catholic faith." Is that true? Are they?
Yes.
Well, then maybe
they're all married in the Catholic Church. All the grandchildren have gone to Catholic schools.
What if you go to the parents whose kids are most involved in this and say, "Can you help me to understand what that game's about?"
Mm-hmm.
This way, you're not saying, "I don't think they should be playing that." Just say, "Help me understand what that game's about. What's it do? What's it supposed to do? What's the purpose? What's the goal?" Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be challenging in it. Do you realize what that game is about? No, you're not going to do that. You're going to say I was fascinated by what they were playing. What was that? Oh, that's a game all the kids play now. What is it? What do they do? Well, they're supposed to find out where Hitler is because he's hiding and he's in his bunker with Eva Braun. And given that, so they find the secret Hitler. Well, is the goal of the game to capture Hitler and to bring him to account, or is it to applaud him? What's the goal? And maybe if they say it out loud, and I'm a great believer in getting people to say stuff out loud, because when you say it out loud, it sounds a lot worse than when it's just floating around in bits and pieces inside your head.
Yes.
So that's what I would do.
I will try that at our next gathering.
Yeah.
Because I know they'll play it. Because, I mean, the kids are laughing. There might be a table of 10. you're a fascist, you know? And gee, I just want to roll on the floor. I just...
Wait a minute. Why are they calling you a fascist if you haven't said anything?
No, they're not calling me. They're calling somebody at the table. It's a table game. They'd say, you're the fascist. And then they'd all laugh, no, you're not, or blah, blah, blah.
Hitler was not a fascist. They don't know anything talking about.
He was
a national socialist.
They have no idea. And I cannot believe that their parents think this is a funny game, too. The only reason I can say is with me is because I'm 79 and I'm closer to what happened. And I remember and I've read a lot and I sympathize and it's closer to me than either one of the other generations. They learned about it, but it's a story like we would have learned about Charlemagne or something to them.
I just got a notice from either Eric or Andrew. It says here, the game is split into teams, the liberals, which apparently are the good guys, versus the fascists. One of the fascist players is the secret Hitler, not actually Hitler. And then he's saying the fascist players try to pass laws. The fascist players try to pass laws to forward their agenda. I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in the game. So interesting. So it's apparently some kind of social commentary also on the bad guys who are not the progressives. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Terrible. It's been out for a while, I guess, and I write about how Jewish people feel about it, and it's just disgusting. But I'm so thankful that you took my call because I didn't know where to go with this.
There's different versions of the game, I guess, since I'm being informed here. There are different versions of the game.
Just the name of it. Just the name of it alone.
Secret Hitler.
Anything to do with Hitler. I mean,
you know, the thing is fading. The Holocaust now, anybody who lived through the Holocaust is pretty much now gone and dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the young people's knowledge of history goes back to about 1996. And so as a result, they did not grow up. They did not see the evils toward religion and towards humanity itself in some of these particular types of governmental approaches and what they do to people and people's dignity. And they have no idea of this.
That they're doing it right now, too, when there's so much, you know, evil against the Jewish people right now, too.
Saw a thing that said in the last 10 years, the anti-Semitic actions, something like 9,000, an increase of 1,300-fold or something like that. Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Appreciate your calling. I'll talk to you. Good stuff up there, please. I'm asking you not to leave. Carl from Northville, Michigan. One of my publishers is in Northville, Michigan. His 19-year-old got her in college, and she's doing what so many do in college, is leaving behind the values she was raised with, and now she's picking all kinds of stuff up. Hi, Carl.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
Appreciate the call.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Well, my wife and I are being beside ourselves now. My daughter came back from Michigan State University for Thanksgiving, and everything I tell her, well, no, that's wrong because blah, 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 blah. You know, I read a book on it and this and that. I mean, there's not a single thing that I say that she doesn't disagree with. And I guess giving this a little more troubling is that when she was even in high school, I noticed that she was a little bit like, she's not forthcoming. She's not really 100% honest, you know, like, Where did you go? My friend's house. Oh, then after that, where did you go? Oh, you know what I mean? It wasn't a lie because, well, that was true. You know, I mean, she's sort of splitting hairs about, you know, when she gives us answers and you got to ask three or four more questions. And, you know, and I didn't give it too much thought. I just tried to explain to her, you know, as, you know, the years in past that, well, that's not really telling me the whole thing. You know, I got to ask you more questions, you know. I mean, I've been nice, you know, but I'm getting really angry, and I really raise my voice, and I get, you know, when she says things to me that I
All right, stay right there. Carl, stay right there, my friend. The heartbreak is telling me I have to shut up. So I will be right with you right after this. I'm Dr. Ray down here at EWTN Studios.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This strange beatitude reminds us that Jesus is challenging us with his ways to heaven on a new exodus. We're leaving behind the Egypt of this world to find the eternal paradise of heaven. When we tend to think of happiness, we tend to think of it in a self-centered way, a possession of a temporary good or passing fancy. But Jesus is calling us into eternal happiness. And actually, morality is a search for happiness, says Dominican priest Servais Pinkers. We're looking to be happy, and a lot of times we end up at dead-end roads that don't lead us to where we want to go. How can we be blessed when we mourn? In sorrow and difficulty, hardship and cross, we are called closer to Jesus. It's God's fingerprint in our heart reminding us that we're made for eternal happiness. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
What is the significance of the anointing oil or chrism during the administration of confirmation? According to the Catholic Catechism, when a Christian is thus anointed, he is marked with a permanent spiritual seal. Anointing in biblical times was rich with symbolism. Oil is a sign of abundance and joy. It cleanses and limbers the body. It is a sign of healing. Think of it being administered to cuts and bruises. It gives radiant beauty and strength. All these features of oil are present in the sacramental life. The pre-baptismal anointing with the oil of catechumens signifies cleansing and strengthening. Anointing the sick signifies healing and comfort. In confirmation and holy orders, the post-baptismal anointing with sacred chrism denotes consecration. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Screaming sound of the Hammond B3. They don't make that sound anymore. It's very difficult. Came from the tubes of the organ, which, of course, the organs are now digital. Talking to Carl from Northville, Michigan. His 19-year-old daughter went to Michigan State. That's in Ann Arbor, I believe. Is that right? Michigan State in Ann Arbor, Carl?
Lansing. East Lansing.
Oh, it's in Lansing. Okay. East Lansing. Okay. Yeah. That's the smaller Michigan college. All right. Got it. And she's had a history of being kind of rebellious, not liking the way she was being raised, even back in her teen years. And right, so she was kind of secretive and all of that. And now she's gone away to college and she's decided, she's free. The parents who raised her know nothing. And as a matter of fact, they need to be disputed because they have all kinds of throwback Neanderthal ideas. And she comes home and she just tells Dad, Dad, get a clue, get a life. You're totally wrong. Now,
I think she buys.
Go ahead.
I think she buys into the toxic masculinity thing, like, oh, I'm toxic. You know, I'm a toxic masculinity thing.
It sounds like she buys into a whole lot of stuff. You said it. Now, I don't know if this is Eric's summary of your question or yours, but it says how to bring her back. Was that your question?
How to reel her back in if I can.
Well, I think the only way you can reel her back in is to literally reel her back in. Now, the problem with that is at this point, from what you're saying, it sounds like she's totally convinced that she's finally free of your ways and your thoughts and your ideas and your morals and your politics and everything else that you hold dear. If you say, I don't like what college is doing to you and I no longer am going to pay for it, what will she do?
that's the thing. See, I'm not a four-year college graduate. Neither is my wife. And therefore, when you apply to FAFSA, that puts you at the top of the list because you won't be, you're probably not, you know, let's say woke and liberal. So they're going to just, they want to, this is a good, you know, they've got a great, this is their, you know, opportunity for them to convert you, you know, away from your parents. And so that's why she's getting it all paid for by FAFSA.
Totally.
Federal aid. And I filled out the paperwork because that's part of it. And
what's she majoring in, Carl?
Well, it's political science, but she wants to be a lawyer.
Okay. Well, you got several decisions. I can't tell you what to do, but you have several decisions to make. One, you sit back and you just watch this as it unfolds. Mm-hmm. And you watch your daughter pretty much turn her back on the things that you thought were solid, mm-hmm. stable, traditional, moral, and work. That's the one. You just let it go, mm-hmm. see what happens. Two, you say, well, my dear, I really don't like what's happening to you. I don't know what to do about it because they're much more influential than I am. So I'm really not going to pay for you to lose your faith. I'm not going to pay for you to get a degree there. You can get one in a community college. Now, she'll say, I don't care. I'm getting it all paid for it. Well, that's not true. That is not true. She has a phone. Who pays for the phone? She probably has a car, or if she doesn't, she wants a car. There's all kinds of things you still pay for.
No, she's got a car. You know, she's
who pays for
money.
The car?
She does.
She pay for insurance?
She's paying insurance. Yeah, she is.
So she is completely emancipated. She does not need you whatsoever at this point.
Right. She's 19, but she that's by design. I says, okay, I'll pay for this. No. You know, she's like, she doesn't want to have any, let's say, responsibility to listen to me, you see? Doesn't have any of that. The only thing that I want to say is that when she comes over here, I've got two younger sons, like 17 and 15, and I think she influences them.
I would flat out say that is not to be. And I would not allow her to be alone with those sons if it's my kid. I would say, if you're going to do that, you can't come back.
Right. Okay.
I had to do that with one of my kids. He was doing things. We said, look, we do not want you saying those things to the younger ones. And we'll have to tell you, we won't invite you to family gatherings if you're going to do that. Now, I can't tell you to do that. You have to decide. You're the parent. You got the right to do that.
But at some point,
you say, okay, I've lost her for now anyway. But I do not want her coming back and telling my 17 and 15-year-old, your parents are full of it, and I got to convince you and show you how they're all wrong, and you can't wait till you're 18 to get out of that horrible place.
Right.
The other thing you got to watch is you don't argue with her. You don't fight with her. You don't argue with her. You don't try to convince her. Forget it.
Okay.
Not going to happen. All you do when you do that is you just convince her, you know, Dad, you don't know anything. You don't know nothing. I'm sure that's the way she comes across.
She gets stronger in it.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I wouldn't even, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to say, so how'd you come to that conclusion? What's your evidence for that? Mm-hmm. How do you believe that? Where's that coming from? Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's all I do. I just try to get her to explain how she's become so smart at age 19.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, if she hasn't lost her faith yet, is she heading that way?
Well, it was Sunday. We were going to go to church together. She says, no, I'm going to go back now.
Atlanta. She's not going to church anymore.
How are you going to go to church? It's going to be late. Well, they have late masses.
Oh, she's not going to church, Carl. Come on.
Yeah, and then she says, I can go during the week.
Carl.
I will go during the week. She's
ditched church, it sounds like. That's it. Mm-hmm. Yep, another college casualty of someone who is susceptible. I always tell parents, oh my gosh, you got to think long and hard about this whole college environment, especially if you're a faith-filled, God-seeking parent. Do you want to send them away to get big loans, to get a degree? Mm. If she doesn't get into law school, she's got a degree in political science. What is she going to do with that? How could she make a living? It goes on and on. Right. Anyway, Carl, good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you, God bless you.
877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. We will get to you. I'd love to hear from you always, everywhere, your opinions, your observations. We are sitting in the bleachers, in the front row, watching a culture across the board anyway. There's a lot of little encouraging brush fires, but across the board essentially say what we have embraced and known for many, many generations, by and large, we've decided is no longer at all to be attended to be absorbed, to be respected. It's an interesting, rapidly deteriorating moral landscape, and it's throwing older parents who have raised their children for a loop. You're feeling overwhelmed, carrying burdens no one else sees? This Giving Tuesday, Ave Maria Radio wants to offer you a gift. On December 2nd, we're dedicating a special Mass and lifting up the prayer intentions of our radio family. You've helped us proclaim the gospel. Now let us pray for you. Visit AveMariaRadio.net to share your prayer request on December 2nd. Let's lift each other up in hope.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master. And the Master is Jesus.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heart-sick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sin. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Sound like a 1965 family sitcom music. You know, you see somebody bouncing down the stairs for a breakfast, you know, and the three kids looking up. Hi, Dad. Hi, Mom. It's Dr. Ray Guerin here. The program The Doctor Is In, co-production EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Ave Maria Radio Communications, Andrew Krucek, my producer man over there in Ann Arbor, and Eric Dumont, call screamer. And here in the EWTN studios, I'm looking through the plexiglasses. He's giving me dirty looks whenever I say stuff, just because he doesn't agree. He is Ace McKay. Great, great name, as I have often, often said. All right, we're getting some calls coming in about this total generational goodbye to the way they were raised. This call from Jenny, though, a little different. It's kind of broad. It's one of these generic questions that I get from Jenny, Nebraska. I'm going to assume that is Spirit Catholic Radio turf. Hello, Jenny.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Thank you for the call, dear. I'm so sorry. I have to apologize to you. I said thank you for the call, dear. Oh, how gender insensitive. Horrible. I got an email once from where somebody saying, stop doing that. Oh, come on. Man, if you get upset with a word of what used to be endearment, it wasn't always endearment. Sometimes it was used wrongly. I got that part. But I'm down south, and I go up to the airline counter, And the girl there will say, is that all you need, sweetie? And I love it. It's like she called me sweetie. How nice is that? Then I ask her, I say, if I were younger, would you still call me sweetie? Maybe it's because you're thinking I'm an old man and that you can get away with it. Anyway, sorry for distracting you, Jenny. Go ahead, honey. Oh, sorry, I did it again.
Yes. Okay, my question is, what is overstimulation and how does that impact the behavior of young kids and what genuine excuse is it for misbehavior? A context is over Thanksgiving, my sister-in-law was over and a few different times my almost 3-year-old and my 5-year-old were getting on each other's nerves and being, you know, naughty and bad. And she said, okay, I think this kid is overstimulated. Let's just give them a minute to cool down. She's a psychology major. But anyways, that's my question.
Danger, danger, Will Robinson, danger. All right, well, you really, Jenny, have shifted the question from what I thought it was. I thought you were talking about certain kinds of stimulation through the senses for some kids who are showing signs of being sensitive to it. What it sounds like you're describing is the basic getting cranked up when you're a little kid because of the excitement or what's going on all around you or there's a bunch of other kids. My wife and I used to call it obnoxious. You just get to the point where you're just juiced up. Well, the psychology major that was observing your children there, or her children, or whoever's children, she's got a point. Okay, so they're getting cranked up. You tone down whatever it is cranking them up. On the other hand, we've always followed from my own family, and I think this is decent advice in general, that, yeah, you can get cranked up, but if you do something hurtful or nasty or mean, being cranked up is not an excuse or justification. You will be held accountable. Now, I can anticipate when the situation is going to get turbulent to crank you up, and then I can do what I can to tone it down. So I know, given what I know about you at age 5, that you're likely to do something that's going to get you some sitting time if I don't intervene. But on the other hand, sometimes I can't intervene. Sometimes it just gets cranked and you act up that fast. So it's the old, well, she's just tired. And I've had a lot of parents do this. If the kid is really obnoxious and mean and nasty and melting down, oh, she's just tired. She gets this way when she's tired. Well, I understand that. But first of all, one, how do you determine how tired she is that she does this? And two, is that a reason? It is a reason, but isn't an excuse. So I think what your question, Jenny, is, on one hand, yes, little kids get cranked up. They do. But on the other, as a parent, you have to decide, am I going to overlook this because you're cranked up? That's what you got to decide there, Jenny. Was that the question?
I'm curious also how that applies, just overstimulation applies to adults from a your psychology background.
Well, anything that makes us, more prone to follow our impulses, okay, whatever that might be. For example, I'll just give you a stretch of an example. There's crowd psychology. And when you have a mob, people are much more likely to act very wrong in a mob that they would never do if they were isolated by themselves or even with one or two other people. Okay, it's mob, psychologists call it diffusion of responsibility. So is that an excuse? I mean, the mob is actually operating at 120 decibels It's operating at 600 volts of emotion. Is that an excuse for doing what I just did? Well, no. No, it's not. It may be something that spurs what I did, but it isn't something that's a reason. And I think so many people will try to find a stimulating explanation for what they did. Well, I was just upset. I don't know. I just got mad. When that happened, I just got upset. Okay. what are you saying? Are you saying when I did is okay? Is that what you're saying? You know, well, I just watched the Browns call a draw play on 3rd and 12, and that just ticks me off every time I see it. So I came out into the kitchen and I yelled at you. That's why. Well, yeah, okay. yeah, that's faux justification. Good question, Jenny. Thank you. Thank you for calling, honey. All right, talk to you later. This is Dr. Ray. I noticed I went past my break. I want to get to you. I'll be back.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Stephen Janet Ray here, announcing our pilgrimage to charming Ireland and its rich Catholic heritage. The shrines are nestled in the quaint Emerald Isle. Lovely people, marvelous food, sweeping vistas. Everyone's favorite is Mass at Our Lady of Knock and its Eucharistic apparition. We hope you can join us in August, along with our Irish chaplain, Father James Conlon.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Life can be overwhelming, leaving you feeling anxious, alone, or even in despair. That's why the nonprofit Revive app was created, to help you navigate the darkness and discover the light. With Revive, confidential conversations with a certified spiritual companion are always just a tap away. And right now, your first two sessions are free. Download the Revive app today. That's R-E-V-I-V, and then the number 3. Let them help you find joy in tomorrow.
PI music. Just picture the guy jumping over a car. These cars are always little. Did you ever notice that? These things are only about 2.5 feet off the ground. I want to see him jump into a Ford Extended Cab 150. You know, these things that are up about 6 feet. Then I'd be impressed. Rose. Now, by any other name, we'd still take her call. Rose from Buffalo. Rose is from Buffalo. I, on the other hand, am from people. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Your show was great today because the whole time I'm like, no! Every call
wait.
That you have.
Flag that, Andrew. Your show is great today because the whole time I'm like, no. That's a great one. Take it out of context.
Because of what the callers are saying. So I feel like, I don't know, I'm not that old. I'm only 36. But I feel like
I got a belt older than you, Rose.
Oh, jeez. Well, and everyone keeps saying, like, you know, there, you had a couple of older callers. It was grandchildren, and then it was, you know, a 19-year-old daughter. And I don't think that anyone realizes how different the culture is, even just from 15 years ago. Like,
you're
I
right.
graduated high school in 2007, and I had a flip phone with no camera. And then I didn't even have social media, really, until I was in college. It was back when you needed a college email to even have Facebook. And I feel like there's such a huge generational gap between me, 2007, and even my next siblings. I have a sister who is class of 2011. We are, like, complete opposite in views and everything, because I feel like social media just, it ruined it. I mean, and I didn't grow up with social media, neither did my brother, who is only 2 years younger than me, and I feel like that's where the generational shift started, and that was even before TikTok. Oh, my gosh, TikTok is horrible, and I have a TikTok, but I don't go on it because I can't stand it, and the reason why I can't stand it, and I tell anyone that will listen, like, don't you understand how it's turning our culture around into something not good? And everyone's like, oh, TikTok is great, everyone is good to each other, you know, there's some great people. Okay, fine, whatever. But don't you realize what it's doing? That you're always on a camera, you're feeding into multiple cardinal sins, or not cardinal, like deadly sins, vanity. I need to record myself doing this. I must tell everyone what I eat in a day, what I get dressed and do, what my children are doing. This is why we don't do this. This is why we do that. I don't care.
Rose, you're putting, like, your finger on something.
Stop caring about it.
I wrote a book called Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World, and it was called Defying the Anti... Yes, you're reflecting a lot of what I talk about in the book. Most parents, well, maybe not most, but well over 50% are unaware of how fast and powerful the culture is mm-hmm. at shaping who their kids are. Never before could it come right into your house like this. So you're right. 2012, a woman named Jean Twenge did a study, and she said that's really when it changed for a lot of our young people, because that's when over 50% of them had smartphones. And as a result, most parents can't keep up with this. They think that raising this kid in their home, as they have good values and they try to guide them, they don't realize the influences. And again, you can't stop them all, but you got to stop a lot of them. You really do. And it takes incredible strength to stop it, because your kids can get resentful. Your kids can look at you like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you people? Mm-hmm. And so you're right, and I'm hoping, and there seems to be a little bit of push that we're now looking at some of these things and saying, this is not good. This is not good at all. And we can hopefully recover from it. But in my world, one of the most common things I now see as I deal with parents who've raised their kids is that my kids are left to faith, my kids don't like me, my kids don't let me see the grandkids, my kids think totally different than I do, my kids have intolerance for the way I think. Yes, because the people who have the influence to shape the culture can now do it millions at a time. Millions at a time. If you were going to be pulled away from your parents, you had to come across somebody or some circumstance that tried to convince you that the way you were raised is way off. That's not a whole lot of power against 20 years of upbringing. But now, the stuff is so, so relentless. And what happens is pretty soon, we no longer think, like that previous call, these kids playing Secret Hitler. We no longer think, what's wrong with this? There's nothing wrong with this. This is fine.
Well, that's even a word, like, I'm seeing on social media that people are calling people who believe in the traditional family that we are Hitler, like, follow what Hitler thinks. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, social media needs to crash, all of it. That is what I say to everyone. Like, it's time to get rid of it, because it's true.
It won't,
what you said.
Because it feeds.
I know.
It won't, because it feeds into fallen human nature. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Now, that said, I was dragged kicking and screaming into Instagram and Facebook. And the reason is that I wanted to be able to talk and say things to the younger group. So in that sense, I'm using that venue. and people I respect who are good Catholics, my son, yes, they put me on Instagram and Facebook. And I think that is one of the reasons why you are seeing a certain subset of young people, men in particular, coming back to the faith, because that's where they're hearing it. That's where they're getting it. So in that sense, at least we can use it to our Lord's benefit. Rose, thank you, dear. Thank you so much. Belle, you call back, honey. You'll be first up. This is Dr. Ray. I got to run here. Leaving the studios of EWTN. Thanks, Ace McKay, Andrew, Eric. Thanks, all of you. Walk with God, the ultimate cultural.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.